Hey, before I start today's episode, I want to tell you that Tally Tumblers are finally here. Yes, the long wait is finally over. I have yard game tumblers, tennis tumblers, and even a tumbler especially for golf. Oh my gosh. So these tumblers are stainless steel, rotating rings, keep track of your score, so you'll never lose track of that score while playing your favorite backyard game. How perfect is that? You could get your tumbler right now at tallytumbler.com. Use promo code TALLY10, save some money, grab yourself a tumbler, and have some fun. Play, sip, score. Tally Tumbler.
This is Toss Talk, where it's all about yard games, having fun, and what it takes to create social entertainment. With your host and creator, Kelvin, on Toss Tunes Radio.
Hey, what is up? And welcome back to another episode of Toss Talk. And today, we are playing Skeetch. Yes, yes. This game is, first of all, it looks beautiful. Second, it's actually rivaling shuffleboard. Yeah, you know, the long shuffleboard tables you see taken up in random bars. Well, there's a new game in town, and it is called Skeetch. Created by two brothers while they were hanging out on the beach. And fun fact, they like to call it Skeetch on the Beach. Yes, they took that beach game, turned it into a fun tabletop game. Well, not tabletop, but its own nice table made out of beautiful wood. And hey, they're selling it. They're trying to get it in bars, get it in breweries, and get your support behind it. I have the creators on the line, Josh and Zach, coming out of Colorado, and they're here to tell you all about Skeetch. So make sure you check them out. Links are in the show notes. If you are a bar owner, hey, this might be the game for you. Or if you have a nice, beautiful man cave, this is perfect. Everybody plays shuffleboard. Nobody's playing Skeetch right now, and we want to change that. So, like I said, links are in the show notes. Check them out. Give them a follow. And hey, let's get into this chat. Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Kelvin? How you doing, man? This is Josh Dowling.
I'm good. How are you doing?
Hey, man, doing well. Thank you so much for having us to do this. It's we appreciate it, man. Yeah, I've got Zach. Let me merge him in, my brother and business partner.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, hang on 1 second. Okay, I should have both you guys.
Yeah, hey, Kelvin.
Hey, what's up, Zach?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. Nice to finally meet both you guys.
Yeah, man, we really so much.
We appreciate the support on always liking our stuff and commenting and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you guys have created a awesome product. I mean, that's why I'm here to talk to you guys about it, and I like to know more.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, we really, really appreciate it. Now, where are you out of?
Virginia Beach, Virginia. So I've been here all my life. What about you guys?
Well, originally we're from South Carolina, both of us originally. We started the business in Colorado. Zach was in Atlanta for 20 years, moved out to Fort Collins in 2020, pandemic hit. I've been out here since 99, but yeah, man, we're both Southern guys, but we live out in the Rockies now.
That's awesome. I do love South Carolina, go down to Charleston all the time, but I haven't actually been out to Colorado yet.
Oh, yeah.
Nice, man, nice.
And it's beautiful. We, you know, my family being from the South and living in Atlanta for 20 years has been a great change for us, man. We love it out here.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think I have a couple friends out there. I definitely need to get out there, and maybe I'll hit you guys up when I'm around.
There you go.
Yeah, totally, man. We would love for you to hit us up, man. We'll hit up some breweries. We got the best craft beer in the country right here.
That is awesome.
Yeah, real quick. Am I confusing you with somebody else? But don't you have the scoring like tumbler?
I do. Yes, the Tally Tumbler.
Yes. Okay. Oh, dude, yeah. Okay. Dang, man, that's awesome. That's
How's that going, man?
Oh man, it's been a crazy couple years because it actually took a little bit while to get it started. But it's starting to sell, and now I'm just starting, do some more marketing and get it out, do some proper branding with it. But yeah,
congrats on that. That's super cool.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, likewise, just like man. You guys with congrats. The product, it's a little bit hard to actually do, but glad it's finally going.
Yeah, well, there you go, man. Yeah, that's fantastic.
Let's get into this. Let's talk about. Sure. All right, I don't want to say it wrong. Is it Skeech or Sketch?
Yes, yeah, Skeech. It's Skeech.
Skeech. Okay. I was like, so funny, man.
So many people always want to add the it doesn't have a T in it, but they always pronounce it that way. It's funny. Oh, even our family, God. Our old family.
I thought it was Skeech, but I didn't know. Let's get into it. I want to know the backstory, like how'd you guys came up with this idea, and how'd you turn it into this beautiful product that like rivals or competes with like a regular shuffleboard table?
You want to go ahead, Zach? Yeah, man, I'll start and then you can just chime in. So I'd say it was about probably 14 years ago now. Growing up in the South, we would go to just below Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, which I guess if you frequent Charleston, about where that is. Yeah. So when the tide goes down, we would play the typical bocce game, but I got kind of tired of playing that game. So when the tide was low, one year I decided to dig holes in the sand, I don't know, 20, 30 yards apart, dug the same set of holes, and just decided let's roll the bocce balls between these two sets of holes, scoring points to 21, like you would play any other game, right? Cornhole.
Yeah.
And the game just kind of stuck. We, we started playing it year after year, and then it was kind of like, well, what can we call this game? And that's the whole backstory of creating the name is kind of like ski ball on the beach. And that's where the name comes from. So we just started calling it ski. So that name stuck, and every year, even to this day, we go, our family is a pretty big family, and everybody commits to the trip every 4th of July week, every year. It's super cool. And we go to Litchfield, South Carolina. Are you familiar with that? Litchfield, Polly's Island.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I haven't been there though.
Yeah. For small, very residential, not so commercialized like Myrtle Beach. Right. So, we just kind of like to get off the beaten path, but anyway, we play every year, man. And it's like, but guys, maybe we'll hit up some Skeech tomorrow. Y'all want to play Skeech tomorrow? I mean, everybody loves it, man. So that's kind of the backstory there. And then I'll let you take over, Josh, on how it kind of evolved into.
Yeah. And so we always wondered, like, how can we make this how can we sell this? Because, I mean, people would stop and ask what this game was on the beach. And then about, 6 years ago or so, my wife and I redid our laundry room with a countertop. And we had a, butcher block countertop, and we had some left over, and I got to thinking, why couldn't we bring Skeech on the beach inside to a table game? So I called Zach and talked about it because, we've been trying to figure out what we could do with Skeech on the beach. And so I told him that, Kelvin, and Zach's the one that acted on it. Once I told him that and built the first prototype, and it was, we've still got pictures of that, and it's cool to look back on that table, the very first table. And then from there, man, it was just grew and snowballed from there, and that's how the game was born.
Nice. Yeah. I love the name so far, where it comes from, and Skeech on the beach.
Yeah, man, you cool. Guys should definitely play that this summer, because Virginia Beach is going to be just like South Carolina. The tide goes out, that sand gets nice and hard. You can make some good holes and play Skeech on the beach.
Yeah, I grew up playing bocce on the beach here, and that's how I actually run bocce leagues now. Here in Virginia Beach, so I'm definitely familiar with that.
Yeah,
nice.
Well, gosh, maybe you could start running Skeech leagues on the beach.
I know, right? that'd be an interesting concept.
But man. Yeah, it's really really fun, man. You should definitely check it out.
That's very cool. I will definitely have to do that because I literally every afternoon and on Sundays and Saturdays I'm at the beach because it's nice out now here.
Yeah, and I will say, going back to Josh saying I acted on it first. Well, this was a snow day in Georgia, so there was like, you know, two snowflakes and everything shuts down in the South. And we were sitting around the house and we're all bored. And I do enjoy woodworking, so I couldn't get out because definitely the roads were kind of icy. And so I was like, all I had was just this long piece of plywood. And, you know, I was like, well, I'm going to definitely make skeech on this board. And I don't have the right drill bit, so I'm going to use my jigsaw. And I mean, the holes, that's why Josh is like, we do have pictures of this table and I still have it in my garage. It's so funny to just see how janky that first play deck is. Far we've progressed. To now, here and now.
So expanding on that, like, how many iterations did it take to you get to this final concept?
Yeah, I mean, what would you say, Josh? I would say like maybe really just three different builds, because on that first build it was really janky and had the gutters literally went down into where the balls, if you made a point, everything was connected. So it was where now, you know, if it misses a hole and goes off the back, it stays up top in the upper gutter, right? Original version into, I'd say, the next step, which is basically almost where we are now, except we didn't have channels that correspond to the point values. So it was just one big open ball catch where you would reach in to grab the balls if you made a ball, but you would not know if you rolled a ball and made a three and I was talking to Josh, I might be, you know, I wouldn't be able to look down and say, oh, nice three, you know, it was just open.
Oh, okay. I get that.
So yeah. Yep. So now they're all channeled out corresponding to the holes. And it's, So I'd say probably three different stages there.
Yeah. It wasn't really a whole lot. It was just little cosmetic things. We changed the way our lines and look on the table from a straight lines to separate the point values to like arrowed lines. If you've seen our tables, which gives it a little cooler, modern look and things like that.
It does look nice and sleek. What kind of like material is it made out of? Like what kind of wood?
The play decks are made of premium Baltic birch ply. And then the rest of the table is made of maple. So, you know, it just comes out, they come out looking really, really nice. The manufacturer we're using right now just does a really nice job. We describe them a lot of times as like a fine piece of furniture because, you know, they go with, you know, we have the brown and the black and they pretty much, one of those will go with pretty much anything.
Oh, yeah. Right. Like that's the first thing I see when it's like it looks like a really like well-made product and it's like aesthetically pleasing. Like I love games that are like that can just seamlessly fit into like your home decor.
Thank you
you got a store
they look nice behind like a instead of like a sofa table. We actually had a client took a really nice picture of his table set up behind his down in his man cave, if you will, behind his couch, and it just looked awesome.
That's great.
And you know, I think there's other things that Josh and I are we've definitely will do down the road, which is, for example, which we don't even know material quite yet on what exactly we would focus on, but outdoor applications where something could handle just all the outdoor weather elements, right? People could put it on their patio, that kind of stuff. So there's that. I do think down the road on our higher end tables, we're just trying to kind of get our product known and get it out there with this really nice standard table to start. But, you know, you could always enhance those play decks from that premium Baltic birch, which is really nice, but just step it up to almost like a much thinner shuffleboard play deck, if you will, right? Those are almost like 3 inches thick, but I mean, you know, half.
Okay.
You know, just to like, more high end, right?
Interesting because I mean it would be nice to actually have like an outdoor version of it, but I was also thinking, do you guys have like a smaller like just tabletop version where it's like no legs, just like almost like the top part?
Yeah, go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, we actually do. We haven't launched it yet, Kelvin, just because you know, like Zach said, we really want to kind of have that in our back pocket and really get the original standard size table going first, and then we do plan to come out with that. But we have had our manufacturer. I think he's built 10 to 15 total, and so we've you know, sold some to friends and, you know, have a few out there. But it's the same game. It's just thinner. So basically it's the same game as far as how it's played. It's just all of the holes do not go through like they do on the original table, because the tabletops are made of the play deck and that's it. Right. And so the only ball that goes through, 5-point ball goes through and you retrieve it on the end. The other four holes, the 2-1 holes and the 2-3 holes on our tabletop versions, they're not cut all the way through. So the balls stay in the holes, and it kind of makes for a tough game, because, you know, you can actually get a deflection off of one of the balls. If you made 2 threes and they're sitting there and then you roll your next ball, you could deflect it off of the balls in there and it could go into the 5. It just adds a cool different dynamic to the game, to the play.
Totally agree. It is.
Oh yeah, so I think this is like perfect for like a tabletop version.
Oh man, yeah, it is. And we are itching, believe us, to get it out. We just, you know, so much, you know, starting this business and just everything we've got going, it's just a lot. And so we're kind of pump the brakes on that a little bit, but definitely we'll be bringing that out. And then we also know that'll be, you know, more affordable product for people that can't quite pull the trigger on the standard.
Understood. Yeah. Where are you getting the games, or where are you getting it manufactured?
Right here in our backyard, basically. So we live, it's in Loveland, Colorado, which is just south of Fort Collins. And a drive away. And so we've got a cabinet guy, that was just awesome when we first brought it to him. He was, you know, introduced to me through mutual friends, and you know, we had so many people, Kelvin, that you were like, oh, you know, no, we don't have time for that, right? Because they're doing their bread and butter, their cabinets or whatever. Yeah. But this guy, he really, you know, we're forever grateful for this, but he really listened to us, took the idea, saw the potential that it had, and just liked the fact that he was going to have something different to do. He was like, man, guys, I've been doing cabinets for 30 years. I like that this is going to give me something different to do. Right. And so that's what kind of attracted it to him initially.
That is awesome.
And so, yeah, man. So he, you know, you couldn't ask for a better guy, to have bought in idea and the product. And so, yeah. So that's kind of how that happened, which, like I said, we're very grateful and lucky that we found Brad.
Yeah, I feel you on that. Shout outs to Brad, because it took me like going to like 30 different manufacturers overseas just for them to take on my product. And I thought it was going to be simple. So I was like mind blown. So yeah, shout out to somebody who wants to like take on the product and do it for you with enthusiasm.
Right.
That's exactly right, man. You're exactly right. Yeah. No, for
sure. Well, just curious, Kelvin, whereabouts did you end up landing? Overseas,
only because in China, because where they get stainless steel from, there's not a lot of like stainless steel here in the U.S. So a lot of it's out of like a quarry somewhere in the upper parts of China, and so it's cheaper over there, but it's still a good product. But yeah, only because it's easy to get assembled over there. I couldn't get all the pieces together here in the U.S. Hopefully one day, but yeah, just raw materials not here.
Yeah, totally understand. Yep.
But yeah, take me through actually how you play the game, just for the listeners who may not know what this game is, and a simple explanation.
Yeah, you mean take this? So basically it's a Skeets looks. When you first see Skeets, it has the appearance of a shuffleboard table as far as the shadow box, the play deck, gutters, right? If you miss, you know, you go into the gutter. But you play head to head, you know, one end of the table is your opponent. And you basically take turns rolling four balls per turn. And after you roll your balls, you tally your score. You've got five holes at each end in a V shape. Right. And so the point of that V is the five hole. It's only 3/16 of an inch bigger than the ball, the skeech ball. And then going out from the five hole, you've got two medium sized holes that are 3-point values, and then two bigger holes that are the 1 point. And basically you go back and forth until you get to 21 points. And then once you get to 21, you haven't quite won just yet. This is a rule that we added in. Unlike any other game, the opposing player always gets a chance to tie you. Okay, so if you get to 21 and your opponent ties you, then you go to sudden death. At sudden death, each player gets one final roll of all four balls and the high score wins. And what's crazy is you'd be amazed at how often you actually go to sudden death, and it just makes it super fun. And, you know, just because somebody gets to 21, it gives that other person a chance, and it just gets real exciting. And we've seen it, you know, many a times, you know, people just getting fired up because they tied their opponent up. It makes it more fun.
Yeah.
But the other piece of the game too is you can obviously get to 21 points by, you know, organically just scoring, you know, adding your score up. But if you score, we added something in called you can roll a skeech. So it's kind of like a Yahtzee where you do go straight to 21 if you roll this skeech. And how you roll a skeech is if you make all four balls, three of the balls have to go in each of the point values, 1, 3, and 5. And the fourth ball just goes in any hole, and that's called rolling a skeech. And so, you know, you can go straight to 21 off your first roll. You know,
I get that. That is awesome.
I it's a cool,
yeah,
cool concept. Then the same rules apply. So even if you roll the skeech, you know, on the first roll, your opponent still gets that chance to tie. But it just, you know, just makes it a lot more fun.
And then I would say another super cool component too that is you know, you played at 21, but just like, I don't know if you grew up playing basketball, but Josh and I were huge into basketball, so we would always be in the backyard whooping up on each other playing 21. So
yes. You know,
you go over, you go back to 15.
Uh-huh.
That's the same thing in our game. So a lot of times, like if you were killing me and you had, let's say, 20, and then you busted because you needed a one and hit, and I've only got like 5 points. Well, it just is super cool, just the dynamics of the game, because you bust, now you're back at 15. And it just gives the opponent time to sometimes catch up, because a player is just like, gosh, I hit what I need to hit exactly 21. You know,
yeah.
And there's that component as well. And then, you know, if you had 15 and you needed 6, but you know, all of a sudden rolled a 5 on your first ball, well, a lot of times that opens up the option to go for a skeech. So, you know, you hit the 5 and the 1, that's cool. But if you hit the 5, and I might be saying too much to keep up with, but if you hit the 5 and then you needed a 1, went for the 1 and busted with a 3, well, technically now you've got a 5 and a 3 in. And if you roll 2 1s to finish that turnout, then that you just rolled a skeech, that negates going over. Does that make sense? So
no, I get it, because
there's a whole different dynamic. There's tons of depth to the game, and that's where, you know, as you learn the game and play the game, it just really gets to be so addictive.
And people that like really love games, especially like myself, like you start to get that dynamic, because there's some other games that are not as confusing, but like it still, you know, adds a little bit of drama at the end, and you got to be like, hold up, like I go back to 15 now, like
totally, man. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
But
yeah,
also,
it gives that, you know, it gives you that chance, the other player that chance to recover.
Exactly. And I'm also a big fan of any type of sudden death, because in my bocce leagues, I had to actually incorporate a sudden death rule. Because I had other games coming on like right after the next. So I was just like, if we get to this time limit and you guys split games, you just guys have one frame. Whoever wins this frame wins. And now, like, sudden death is a thing in our league.
I like it, man. That's awesome. Yeah.
Another thing that we've been telling people here for a while, and we didn't really start to describe it this way until we have the game at a couple of different golf communities. And we've been describing skeets for your listeners. We describe it a lot like putting with your hand, because every table is a little bit different, just like the beach. When playing skeets on the beach, it's always different because there's a bigger slope, you know, or whatever. But, you know, you have, like, when you're putting on a green, you got, you know, you're breaking left to right, right to left. Once you learn the table, it's all about finding that line in the right speed.
Oh,
and
wow,
then when
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? And then when you hit that five, man, it's like hitting a birdie in golf. It gets you fired
yeah.
up.
Yeah, it totally is. Yeah.
How big is the five hole again? Like,
I don't know the size offhand, but yeah. I do know it's 3/16 of an inch bigger than the ball. So it's just, if you put the ball over the hole, Kelvin, it's just like barely big enough to drop in.
Yeah.
So
I get that. What
I will say to people that, you know, and skeets, they usually always come in way too hot. Like, it's all about finesse. Because if you come flying at that five, you might be dead on, but it's such a small hole, man. It's got to have that slow speed to just.
I get that part of it, because, I mean, essentially just like bocce, I mean, a little bit like shuffleboard, you got to have that right touch on it just to make it go there, but not go over. And also like putting, you can't make it fly across the hole.
You nailed it. Exactly.
Yeah. But that's also interesting too. Like, because it's wood, and I'm a big fan of wood products, like wooden games, maybe it settles a little bit differently. So the table does kind of have a little bit of slope or something, not like it's completely straight, which I kind of like that. Cause even in bocce, like, the grass isn't the same everywhere when you go play. The sand isn't the same everywhere you go play. So it's always that little bit of twist or element that you gotta read the green.
And that's why you can't, you know, you could be really good on your skeet table at your house, but if you go to a brewery and they've got one, it might be at a different break. So you just gotta get used to each table, just like when you're on the golf course.
I get that. My next question is, so you guys have been shipping these tables out. Like, what has been the most, like, challenging part of, like, setting up, you know, distribution for this product? Because it is, like, a huge table. Like, how much is shipping?
Man, I would say, I mean, our biggest challenge on that is just, you know, figuring out, I mean, you know, we're pretty green into this whole industry. And so learning the ropes of all the freight companies, and my goodness, man, that, you know, you kind of wish they cared a little bit more about things that ship.
Yeah.
But we started out on crates with these things. We've got our custom cardboard boxes in there, obviously foam protected inside there, but Josh and I have had to just step it up, man, and start box crating these things. So we just kind of had to step it up on that. And I would say that's just the biggest challenge, is protecting the product. Getting it without some major hiccup, you know?
Yeah, I hear you on that.
It's interesting, because we started out with just putting it, you know, we had custom boxes from the get-go, but then we were strapping those to a pallet and just putting, like, you know, do not stack, you know, fragile product stickers and stuff like that. But we found that, man, that just didn't cut it with the way things are treated, unfortunately. And so, like Zach said, the box crate, you should see these things. They look like a casket, because, you know, it's about a little over 8 feet, but it's just, you know, it's been the way to go. We haven't had, I'd say we've been pretty lucky, and that's been working pretty well with creating the tables delivery.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's,
and you know, and all that evolves as well. So, like, this new manufacturer, we've actually got a new guy we're kind of talking to in the works with now on just stepping up volume. And he had the great idea of just basically, instead of all the wood crating and screws on the exterior of the box, is that we probably are going to do this once we finally get through the boxes that we do have. But is to just put the walls, and the base and the top of the wooden crate inside the box, around the foam, and obviously all the foam protection that we already have inside the box. So really, we just need to up our box size, and it's really going to save us a ton on time, and we're looking forward to that, I'll tell you.
Oh yeah, got to make it efficient. I mean, I've already made like two mistakes with my tumblers, and that's a small product of shit.
And it, yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
I can only imagine what you guys are going through.
Yeah,
it's a lot, but man, it's just so exciting to just be learning pretty much every day, man.
All right, guys, I hope you're enjoying the show so far. We'll be right back after this short break. Hey, if you love yard games, you are going to love my new Etsy shop. It is called Toss Yard Games, featuring dope illustrations of all the famous and the not so famous, not quite yet, yard games. Yes, I'm talking everything is in this shop. Graphic illustrations of games like Duluth, 21 or Bus, Quartersback, Spikeball, Can Jam, everything. So, rep the game you love with a dope illustration at Toss Yard Games on Etsy. Check it out now. Links are in the show notes. All right, so welcome back. Let's get back into this chat.
All the time, you learn new things.
A little bit more on the backstory. Did you guys like always want to start a business, or is just kind of like you had this game and you're just like, you need to share it with the world?
I mean, I kind of feel like that's how it just evolved into, like, you know, I mean, I don't know that I ever thought about starting my own business, but I, you know, I was a hairstylist for 18 years and did work behind my own chair. So essentially you're kind of running your own game. And Josh has been very successful with his real estate career and branched out many years ago. What, 14 years ago, Josh?
Yeah. It's been a while. Yeah. So we both, you know, I guess, hairstylist, real estate agent, you kind of are, you know, your independent contractor, you know what I mean?
Exactly. And
so this just brought something that is like truly ours. You know, you got other people that do hair, obviously other people that do a bunch of ton of realtors, but this is something that's just special because, you know, we created it, and then to see people enjoying it, giving us, you know, sincere, great feedback. It just, you know, obviously you just want to keep it going.
No, that's perfect. That's a great answer. I mean, that's exactly how it is sometimes. I know that some people are like, oh, I want to start something, but they, you know, stumble their way into something, and others are just like, hey, like, you know, this needs to be out here. Let's just do this out of nowhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's issues with this, man. I mean, just to touch on that a little bit, you know, we're target homeowners, but right, you got the establishments, you got the golf communities, you got the you know, the breweries and things like that. But you know, this thing could go into, you know, because anybody can play the game, it could go into like assisted living places for older, you know, senior citizens. Because
exactly.
I feel like you see like two older ladies or older gentlemen playing this game and having a blast, because it's you don't have to have incredible skill like billiards. You know, you got to be pretty skilled to enjoy that game, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, that's a cool part of the product as well. It's just, it's the different avenues that it can go.
So true. Yep.
Yeah. So while you're sharing it with people, what are some like misconceptions that people may think about it when they come and see the game for the first time?
That was one of your questions here. I mean, that's the thing. I think there's too many. Do you use that? I mean, I think it's,
well, I mean, I think, we kind of saw, not really, I wouldn't call it a misconception, but there are people that just, for some reason, it's so funny, man. They just don't really care to read the rules. They're like, here are the balls, here are the holes, let's play. And so they start playing and you know, our rules are every ball counts. And so these guys that were playing today that we saw, you know, they're playing like cornhole. So his three cancels out the other guy's three. And, you know, okay. So I mean, it's the same game, but it just you're making it last longer, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm with Josh. There's really not been too many. If you read the rules, it's such an easy game to learn, and that's another huge positive about it.
Yeah, it's super easy to learn, and it's you know, pretty easy, especially if you got the table in front of the person you're talking to about the game. It's pretty easy to explain as well. That's the beauty about it. It's one of those things that it's pretty simple, right? Like you said, you like wood stuff. I mean, it's wood and steel balls, so it's kind of like a timeless game, I feel like.
Yeah, and no, that's, you know, perfect, because I mean, it looks good, and like I say, I feel like those type of games like last a while. Like, I mean, shuffleboard's been around forever, and it's still like, yeah. I like a good shuffleboard game, and the table looks good, so it's nice to see. It's nice to see another product similar to that, but very different, and look just as good and a fun game just as well. Like, if I had enough room, like, I would probably have a shuffleboard table and a skeech table. Like, I'll have both.
Right. And that's one thing too about that, you know, just for people that are interested in a new game. And I always say, hey, if you're looking for a pool table or a shuffleboard table, skeech is a great alternative. But we've heard this many times from feedback, is people love the footprint of 8 feet long by 20 inches wide, because, you know, it fits into so many tighter spaces. You know, you need a 20-foot wall for shuffleboard, or you need a pretty wide, you know, great room for a pool table, right? And so,
yeah,
you know, skeets will fit nicely up against your wall, and you can still, you know, have room to put other things.
I love that. Let's dive into some random questions so people can get to know you guys a little bit better.
Yeah.
All right. So, first question. What's your favorite side dish at a family gathering? So, I know you guys said you have big family gatherings. I know there's probably some good food there.
Well,
what are you guys eating first?
I think for a side dish, we both agree, because we always whip this up and people love it. I mean, in the South, but everywhere you go, and that's some homemade Southern mac and cheese. Right, Zach?
I mean, that's my go-to. If I'm asked to bring a dish somewhere, I'm making that.
I love that. My mom makes some
good old
mac and cheese. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when you make it right.
Good healthy dish.
Yeah. have some like burnt ends too on the side. Oh, it's amazing.
You're not worried about health, man, on a side dish.
Oh yeah, no.
but as far as a favorite dish, man, I really love the Traeger, and like to do like a brisket for a big group, man. That's you can't beat a good brisket.
Yeah, that's very good.
Nice. Yeah, my go-to is like a big crock pot barbecue. Just let it cook for a while and shred that up. Best. Yeah, it's super easy. Best.
Let me ask you this about barbecue. Do you like do you like the regular barbecue sauce, or do you like the mustard base?
I do regular. Okay. I put my barbecue sauce on before it comes out, so when it comes out, it's not like very saucy, and you can add a little bit more if you want, but the flavor should be right already.
Yep. I got you. Yep, I hear you.
That sounds so good.
All right. Second
question. Yeah, we love some barbecue, man.
Yes. Second question. So what is your, both of you guys, what is your favorite indoor game besides skeech? Like, indoor tabletop game.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have to go billiards for me. I love playing pool.
True.
Yeah, I love pool. I like pool a lot as well. I mean, it's fun. I mean, we don't play a ton of shuffleboard. I mean, they're just, you know, harder to find them, really, but. Yeah, so we both enjoy pool and cards too. I mean, I was thinking indoor games I like to play cards.
Yeah, I'm big on some darts. I love playing darts.
Yeah,
on a dartboard at my house.
I love darts too, man. I mean, if I get, which I used to have a board, I don't now, but man, once you kind of start playing that, you just get
No, you totally yeah. do. We used to play a lot of darts too. I kind of forgot about darts, but I hadn't played in a while. But you do get into it. If you like games and like competition, you get in just about anything, right?
Oh yeah. I will have to say, shout out. Have you guys heard or played DAGS yet?
No. What is that?
DAGS is like a cornhole, but with dice. But it's not like the dice numbers, just like the square cubes. And it has a little backboard like in front of the hole, so you have to kind of like bounce it off the side to get it in the hole, and you play cornhole rules with it on a tabletop.
Okay, I'll have to look that up.
So much fun. Yeah, look them up on Instagram. I haven't even done a podcast with them yet, and they sent me a game and I've been loving it.
That's awesome.
I tell everybody about it.
Is that DAG? Z or S,
yes.
Or what?
DAGZ, DAGS.
I want to say, I feel like I maybe have seen that.
I feel like I've seen it too. The name sounds.
Yes.
It does sound checked out.
It's super underrated. Like, I haven't even been promoting it as much, but every time people come over, we're playing DAGS and like all night. It's kind of funny. Like, I love it.
Wow, that's cool. Well, good for them. That's super cool.
I'll tell you another fun one is the ring and hook game is fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's addictive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the company Play Ringo, like they made like a really nice version of it. Like it like closes down and like the top part like comes up, so it like hangs on your wall and it's all wood, so it looks really nice. So you
I have
like
seen that.
Hanging out. Yep.
That is a nice design.
Yeah. Yeah. They're doing work over there. All right. Next question. What's one thing you love doing in your business? Both of you.
Well, I mean, I said we just did one today, man. We landed another brewery. It's going and just pitching the game to breweries and to brewers, right? Because you go in, you sit down, you're meeting a guy that loves to brew good beer for people, and you just want to add to that. So it's just a lot of fun to go out and pitch skeets to the breweries.
Nice.
I would agree to that. And I would also add, you know, another thing that Josh and I both have done many times is just in the brewery that we're already in and just popping in, you know, on a Friday night and, you know, and you see people, groups playing your game and just their excitement. And I mean, sit back a lot of times and just kind of observe for a while because we just want to watch real action, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and then it's just exciting to go chat it up with them and see how they like the game, you know, and then way later be like, yeah, we're local and we started this company.
Yeah, you know, slow play it. I love it.
Yeah, the slow play, man. It's super fun.
I do the same thing too, because I'm in a bunch of breweries and playing bocce, and not everybody knows that I'm the one operating the league and everything. But just seeing people like genuinely interested and coming up and like, oh, what are you guys doing over here? And then just being like, hey, like this is my thing. Like I totally get it.
Yeah. Man, that's super exciting.
It is very exciting. That's super cool, man.
Yeah. Next question. What is the most interesting place you guys have traveled?
I haven't been too far. I mean, I haven't even been to Europe or, you know, really. I mean, I've been down to Central America and stuff. But for me, it was probably down in the Caribbean, you know. We honeymooned down in St. Lucia. That's a pretty special place. But not really. He's nearly excited. Zach's been all over the place. He's been a lot of places. Yeah,
well, my wife's the big baller over here, working hard and you know, winning trips through her company. So that's why we've been blessed and lucky enough to be with a company that actually still takes their employees and, you know, spoils them a little bit. So we've been to a few really nice spots over in Europe, France, Italy, you know, Ireland, and it's been really special, man. It's super cool at our ages anyway, right? To be able to go to those places. And so that's been really fun. How about yourself?
Very nice. For me, I actually haven't been to, actually, my favorite place that I've been is Hawaii. I mean, it might be cliche, but like there's something about the vibe there that is just like unmatched by like almost like any other spot. And I loved it. But cool. Mostly like I've traveled up and down the East Coast. I need to go out west more. I actually recently been to Dallas, Texas, and I had a blast there, which I really didn't expect to have a blast there. So much fun. But yeah, I actually need to do some
more traveling. Get out to Colorado. You would love it out here.
Yeah. I hear so many good things about Colorado, like even like the MLS teams doing great out there. Colorado Rapids. Yeah, and I can snowboard. And
I was just gonna ask you, you ski or snowboard?
I grew up skateboarding. I was almost trying to go pro at skateboarding, but I ended up going to school to play soccer instead. And I can still do it. Yeah, so I love all that type of stuff.
Yeah, hey, all the more reason to come on out here to the Rockies. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I was gonna say on the travel question, man. Ask us in like 5 years, and we might have a different answer because there's some cool places I want to go check out. You know, I want to go to hit up. You know, I'd love to go check out just off of, you know, like Africa, India. I mean, just some amazing places. You know.
Yeah. What's a bucket list place for you?
Bucket list place, man, I really have always wanted to go to New Zealand just because of the scenery. I mean, it just looks incredible. But there's so many. I mean, there's really so many. It's hard to, I still got to get over, like I said, I still got to get over to Europe and see some of that. But, there's just so many places, man. How about you?
For me, it's, Argentina. Okay. It's just something about the vibe and the people, the food, and just like how it's in the middle of like, it's, I wouldn't say it's like third world, but it's not quite as like, you know, as a great culture. I'll say that.
Yeah.
And a great vibe there. And there's so much to see down there that people probably don't really put it first on their travel list. So, yeah.
No, that would be cool. Hit Argentina and Chile and some of those places down in South America would be killer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, there's just, it's endless, right? Where places to go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next question. What's the most influential book you guys have read?
Well, I was just telling Zach, man, I feel like it relates to us, but it was a book I read a couple of years ago. I don't remember the author offhand, but it's called Late Bloomers, but you should check it out because it basically just talks about how this society, like, it's always like, you know, just, you got to hurry up and do this and that, right? You got to be the LeBron James at 25. You got to be the Zuckerberg or LeBron James at 18, Zuckerberg at mid 20s. You know what I'm saying? It talks a lot about, and it gives examples of business people that didn't bloom in their career until, you know, some of them were like, you know, close to 60. I mean, you know, late 40s, 50s, 60s. Yeah. And, you know, and it's just something I thought, we both have three kids. Zach and I both have three kids, and just like, let kids know these days, like, you don't have to, it's okay to, like, I mean, you know, to do, go at your own pace, you know? So I think that's kind of what we're doing. Cause we're always, you know, lately we've been talking about, man, I wish we'd thought of this. Thought of skeets like 10 years ago, but it's like, well, we're still young enough. I mean, you know, so
yeah, you don't always need to be in like a rush to do something. And
absolutely,
yeah,
man.
Some people have started some amazing businesses like later on in life. It's there's no race.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of them was one of them was the lady that wrote the
Harry Potter. Huh? I know what you're talking about. Golly, yeah, but I'm just not into those movies, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you,
Lord you're of the Rings. About...
Not or Lord of the Rings.
Or is it Harry Potter?
Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
Harry Potter. Yeah. So she like, yeah, that was like later in life that she wrote those in her life.
I know. Yeah. That is, yeah. I feel the same way because, I feel like I kind of got into like my regular job, like super early. So I feel like I've already kind of lived like a middle-aged life a little bit. And okay. Also, at the same time, it's like, oh, I'm still really young. So it's like you don't really have to, like, you know, push yourself as hard. Or I'm not saying push yourself as hard, but, like, let things come at their own pace and
yeah.
Do what you got to do. Don't feel overwhelmed at, like, you didn't get this accomplished right away because got a long life to live.
Exactly, man. No, that's exactly what it is. It's like, you know, you don't kids these days. In my opinion, I mean, you just don't need that stress. Like, we all don't have to excel at that same pace like you're talking about. I mean, it's just, you know,
yeah.
So,
and that relates. Yeah,
I'll tell you, that's why, yeah, man, when we moved out here, I was just telling Josh today, coming back from this brewery we were at, it's kind of reminds us of how we grew up outside of Greenville, South Carolina. We grew up kind of on a small farm and just all the openness and countryside out here versus the burbs in Atlanta and just dealing with the six to eight lanes of traffic. I mean, it's just such a rat race, and life is, you know, you can always find the hustle, but I do appreciate the little bit of calm and slowed down version, if you will, out here.
Definitely.
Oh, that is perfect. I travel up to Charlottesville a lot. And it's crazy just being like up in the mountains versus like, you know, being down here at the beach, just like seeing that nature and just like having that sense of like open space. It really does like clear your head and like, you know, gets you a different perspective on life.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, how far is Charlottesville from Virginia Beach?
It's only 3 hours. It's not bad at all.
Okay. And you grew up in Virginia Beach or Charlottesville?
Virginia Beach.
Okay, gotcha. Are you a Dave fan?
What'd you say?
Dave Matthews.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, okay, he's got a winery up there. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we grew up obviously loving some Dave, man.
Yeah. Well, that was great. That was some good random questions. I think the listeners got to get to know you guys a little bit better. I just have a couple more questions for you guys on the business side. So looking back, like from when you first started, what is like one thing that you wish you would have done differently or changed, like when you started the business?
I think when I said that just a minute ago, that was what I had thought about is just like wishing we would had acted on this idea earlier, you know, you're always going to think that though.
Of course.
I mean, you know, at this point in time, what I would change, I don't know about you, Zach. I mean, we kind of just, you know.
I mean, I feel super blessed, man, to, you know, we've definitely had to jump some hurdles. I don't think anything major, like no doors have been slammed as of yet. I would agree with Josh, you know, I would say to the extent of dealing with just the harsh supply chain issue, running into, you know, all these situations with how the world's changed that's why we wish, you know, in hindsight, we could have started that, you know, 14 years ago is when the first started on the beach. Well, so like, let's just say, 4 years after that, if we'd have been like, you know, light bulb, let's bring this in. We would just be so much more just established deep in the game and the industry. And then you hit this, you know, roadblock that we all hit 2 years ago. And of course, I just feel like, you'd have to still navigate, right? But it'd just be, we'd already be so established. So I agree with Josh. That'd be, the biggest thing is just starting earlier.
I gotcha. And like when you guys were just starting out, what do you think was like the best, you know, resource or business tool that helped you, you know, propel the business just a little bit more forward?
I would say, well, early on, we got some advice that we need to get this game out in front of the gaming dealers of the world. And so that, you know, we realized that, but we've been doing just direct sales so far. But I would say, you know, that was some good advice that we didn't really, you know, necessarily think about right away. Is, you know, that's a way to get more exposure to the game, is have these other folks in the industry from all different markets around the country, you know, help us, you know, spread the word, basically spread the name of the game and the game itself.
Yeah, I hear you. Word of mouth is still a very useful tool. People probably underestimate these days, but yeah, I mean, even on social media, it's still essentially a form of word of mouth because people share it with somebody else. So, yeah.
No, absolutely. Social media, I mean, it's been really good free marketing for us, and just like everybody else.
Oh yeah. No, I love seeing your game pop up because, like, to me, I just think it looks amazing. So I like every time it pops up on the gram.
Yeah. Thank you so much, man.
Of course. I just have a couple more questions. So what are you guys excited about coming up for the business? Anything new going on or getting into?
Yeah, we got something big coming up. Yeah. You want to go tell them that?
Yeah.
Yeah, end of June, you know, this was two years that we've been trying to make it to. It's called the BCA, the Billiards Congress of America Expo, held in Vegas. And they've had to postpone, you know, obviously due to all the COVID and supply chain issues, this and that. And so here it is, the first year coming back. And I think everybody's excited. I mean, we are obviously super excited having to wait the 2 years to introduce our new game to what we believe is truly going to help advance the industry overall. So we are super thrilled what's going to happen there and brush some shoulders with just, you know, a lot of great people in the industry.
Oh, wow. That is awesome. Yeah. Well, congratulations on that.
It's a billiards and home leisure.
Thank you.
So we've got a 20 by 20 booth out there, and we're just super pumped to it'll be a great place to showcase the game, that's for sure.
Yeah, that is awesome. And like, I think about just like yard games in general, that like being at a booth and showing people is like the best way to sell a game, like hands down.
Yep. See it, feel it, touch it, play it, all the things, right?
Yeah, get all the feelings. And yeah, so I hope you guys do well, because like that's really cool.
Well, yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we'll be, you know, obviously posting and just, you know, sharing a lot of that experience on the social for sure.
Of course. Yeah. So last question for you guys, you know, as yard game or, you know, just gaming entrepreneurs, what is your quote, mantra, or inspiration that gets you excited, gets you up, ready to sell Skeech every single day?
Right, I hear you. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, I've put down there, we've got a couple different ones on our logo, and that is rolling in a different lane. I mean, just, you know, trying to come up with something different and be different with something that everybody's going to enjoy. And then another one we have is best table game in decades, because there's been nothing new to the gaming industry, to the table game industry in decades. And so people love something new. So that's another one.
I love both of those. Yeah. It accurately like describes what you guys want to do and put out into the industry. And I think you guys are hitting the nail like on the head, because like I said many times already, it looks good. The gameplay looks amazing. And yeah, you guys just need to keep pushing it. I want to see it in more bars and more breweries because it's a cool game.
Yeah, we do too, Kelvin. We definitely appreciate those compliments for sure, man. And as you know, I mean, we have that in common. It's just getting a product, you know, from the ground up, man, from the light bulb in our heads to where we all are now. Just so exciting, man. So we can just continue to support each other, all of us in this gaming industry. I want to look up DAGs and, you know, just try to build each other up, man. That's what it's all about.
Of course. Yeah. That's one thing I've known about just from talking to a lot of people in the industry. Like everybody's, you know, we love to play games. So we're down to support each other's game and just keep it growing.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. That sounds great. Well, we certainly appreciate it, man. We appreciate you having us on and, you know, taking the time.
Yes, I'm glad. It was a really good chat. And I'm glad I got to get the full backstory. I feel like I fully understand what's going on, and I'm going to be pushing the game out and telling everybody about it.
Man, we really appreciate it. And what can we do? Anything we can do to help you, we will do it, man. Just let us know.
I appreciate that. Yeah, we'll keep in touch. We'll collaborate on something.
Yeah, man, love to collaborate on something. And, you know, if we could get a – love to enter the – you know, that's the thing is we were talking about getting a map of, like, pins on where we are in the country. But we branched out to some different states for sure, but we still don't have Virginia on the map. So we got to get there, man.
There's a ton of breweries here, especially even just in Virginia Beach. Like, it's been crazy these last couple of years. And like a game like that would be perfect. So, maybe I can introduce some owners and be like, hey, put this game over here.
That'd be awesome.
Could work something out. That'd be awesome. All right, guys. Well, thanks again.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be in touch. And,
all right, Kelvin. Sounds good, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, we'll talk soon, Kelvin. See you, bud.
All right, later.
Bye-bye.
That was Josh and Zach. Oh, man. That was an amazing conversation because they just seem so excited. And you could see they love this game. They love the product. And just by the craftsmanship of the game, you could tell it is well made and they didn't stop on any detail. And you guys know I love a great wooden game that this game exceeds expectations. The quality fits right into your living room or man cave, wherever you want to put it in your house. Play some Skeech. Check it out. And if you guys live on the beach and you have some bocce balls, you know, look up the rules and make your own Skeech game on the beach. Low tide. Oh, man. Links are in the show notes if you want to check them out. I even saw on their website that they have designs that they will sell. So if you don't want to get one made from them, you want to try and do it yourself a little bit, check out their designs. See if you can recreate your own Skeech game. But, all right, guys, I have plenty more games coming up for you guys. Please hit the like button, subscribe if you haven't done so already. Thank you guys for listening, and I'll catch you guys in the next one. Peace!